All right. Welcome to Flywheel, your number one source for everything crypto, DeFi, and all that's in between. If you want to know what's going on in the world on chain, well, you've come to the right place. This is DeFi Dave, and I'm here to help you harness the power of the Flywheel. And this time around, Flywheel returns to the trenches. We have on Charlie Curran. I always botch names, but documentary filmmaker, video editor, turned Pump.Fun, a culture coin launcher. He was launched Pussy and Bio, who, if you, those who remember, Alon mentioned in our interview with him. He recently was behind Ball Up Top. We get all into culture coins, why they are hitting, what does it mean to be at the bleeding edge of culture, which Charlie has been throughout his career, whether it was being in the avant-garde fashion scene as a photographer 10 years ago, whether it was being a documentary filmmaker, or it's right now with the culture on Solana in meme coins. And I'm not going to lie, I love this interview. I love memes. I've always been a meme connoisseur. And we get into why memes hold these universal truths. And right now they're being represented in these coins on chain. And so I really enjoyed this one. I think this is one for the books. I think this is one where people are going to look back on and be like, oh shit, like this one hit, kind of like how the Alon interview did. So we can get into it. But before we do, make sure you go ahead, hit that bell button, subscribe, leave us a comment, let us know what you think, give us a like, every little bit helps. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram at Flywheel DeFi. You can go ahead, follow me on Twitter at DeFiDave22. And let's get the flywheel spinning. All right, everybody, welcome back to Flywheel. I'm your host, DeFi Dave. And here today, this time around, we go into the trenches. We have on Charlie Curran. Did I say your last name right?
No, but it's okay. It's just Curran.
Curran. I'm so bad with every episode. I just like botch names. Anyway, Charlie Curran, documentary filmmaker and editor extraordinaire, turned Pump.Fun meme coin, culture coin enthusiast and curator. I would like to call you a curator more than anything, because you like identify trends in culture, and then you're able to basically transmute that into on-chain, into like literally something financial. And it, like, when I first met you and like the way you described it as like an art form, it really resonated with me, because it came off completely differently how like people think of meme coins as like extractive, or like, oh, it's like, you know, short term. But like, no, like how you're doing it is like really an art. You identify a trend, it's, and you see like, okay, like, well, what, there's something here, we see something bubbling, and then we'll get into all this in the interview. But anyways, thanks for coming on, Charlie.
Oh, my pleasure.
But yeah, before we get into like how you got into like into like, you know, all the meme coins and culture coins, like, what's your background actually, and how'd you get into crypto? Because you actually have like a actual solid career as a documentary filmmaker.
Yeah, I mean, knock on wood. But
knock on wood.
I guess my background is film. Like, I've been making films since I was 12, however old you are, like the sixth grade, like when I got my first like handy cam. And I just always knew that I wanted to do that. And that's just kind of always what I've done. I just kind of fell in love with storytelling. And I actually didn't intend to get into documentary filmmaking. Like, I always loved documentaries, but the way that I got started was actually narrative film, like, you know, like home movies with my friends. And then I went to school to study that. I went to art school at the Savannah College of Art and Design. And then I just kind of fell into it. I started a documentary by accident. I was making what was supposed to be a 10-minute student short film and for an intro documentary class. And I found a book in the school library by this photographer. His name was David Sorrenti. And I was kind of like freaking out at the time, like the normal like early 20s existential crisis of like, I'm making student work, like how do I make capital A art? And then I found this book with these photos by this photographer who was 20, and I was 20 at the time. And I was like, holy shit, like if he could do it, I can do it. I'm going to figure it out. So like not knowing any better, not knowing his family's were like the Corleones of fashion photography. I just kind of emailed them. I was like, hey, you don't know me, but I'm doing a documentary about your dead younger brother. And then just showed up in New York. And it started an 8-year journey of like kind of falling into the fashion world and making this documentary. But it kind of taught me like a young age, I guess, like to just kind of go to the source, especially like when it comes to culture, just like go straight to it.
What do you mean by that? Like go to like where it's bubbling, go to where it's hot.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know, like there's this book like by William Gibson, Pattern Recognition. And like, there's a quote that I butcher, but like, basically it's about a trend forecaster. And she talks about how you always just go directly to the source. Like, and the example she gives is like finding the first person to like wear their baseball cap backwards. And when I was reading that, like that always struck me and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna like, go to it. Like, and so I feel like being like, whether it's like avant-garde art, avant-garde fashion, the trenches in crypto, I feel like the edge is where things are happening. And that's where like culture is hot in the sense that it's like generative and like producing new things. And that's always been what's interesting to me, at least.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It just kind of feels like a natural place for me to be, like the trenches, I guess, as they're called. Cause it's just always what I've done. Like whether it's like, you know, like avant-garde fashion scene in New York, like in the early 2010s, I guess, with like Telfar and the Conveyor or Pumped Up Fun right now.
Yeah, it's basically where you're on the bleeding edge, where culture is forming, where it's kind of in its primordial soup, and then it takes some shape and form in life and then goes on. It's like you're there at the bleeding edge. No matter the medium.
It's messy as fuck, but it's fun. Like there's nowhere else I'd rather be, you know, like.
Yeah. And so how did you make that transition from avant-garde fashion, documentary filmmaking to crypto and meme coins?
I mean, I guess I've always been like crypto native. I guess started in crypto, like it wasn't like a career, like it was an interest, you know, like I used to spend like a recovering theory cell. So like I was always interested in philosophy. My dad's an economist, you know.
I'm also a word cell. And a philosophy minor, so I get it.
Yeah, so like it got interesting for me, like when I read like some of like the early like cypherpunk stuff, like Assassination Politics. I think it's Jim Bell is the author, I think.
What's that?
So the short story of like what Assassination Politics is, and it predates Bitcoin, but it was an idea that like you could, it was like basically like the idea for the first prediction market. And it was a concept that you could incentivize anonymous assassination if you had anonymous money and pseudo-anonymous accounts. And you could basically bet on when someone would die. And if the bet was like high enough, obviously the person who did the assassination, if they knew it was going to happen, would win. And so like you would have like plausible deniability for like criminal culpability. And I was like, whoa, this is wild, you know, like philosophically, yeah. Like economically, like this is like some wild shit. And like that, and I guess like the Silk Road was really interesting to me. Like my friends were like mining Bitcoin, like back when you could do it, like on like daisy chain computers with like Walmart box fans, you know, and it was cheaper to like have a room doing that, like in Logan Square, than like have a fourth roommate. So, you know, like we were like buying Molly for like festivals and stuff, you know what I mean? Like 2013, 12, like somewhere around there. But then I like went to college, was more interested in girls and filmmaking and
many, you know, such like, cases.
Yeah.
Like, normal such cases.
Yeah. And then, was really interested in web art. Like the internet surf clubs, the idea that the way that you use the internet itself could be art. And so, like Rhizome, kind of like Petra Courtwright, John Michael Bowling, like artists like that.
The way that you can use the internet itself can be art. That sounds a lot like Pumped Out Fun. Like the way you can use the chain can be like art.
Yeah. And so that's why I was really interested in like crypto as an artistic medium. It just kind of made sense to me. And then the NFT explosion happened and I was really excited at first, and then I saw the art and I was like, oh, I don't know, man. But then there was some like interesting use cases of the medium. Cause I was like, this is a new medium, like can it be art? And then that's how I got into Miladies and like found them and minted those and started that whole arc, I guess.
the Milady arc.
Yeah, the Milady arc.
And then from there, you naturally got more and more online, on-chain, whatever you call it, like more and more into the culture.
Yeah.
And then eventually Pump.Fun came along. I'm going to pause here for one second.
A few moments later.
You got into Milady's, you got more and more into the culture, and eventually Pump.Fun comes along. And that came along earlier this year in 2024. And I remember first seeing it on the timeline and first seeing the website. I'm like, I have never seen anything like this before in crypto. It's something new and novel and exciting. It definitely strokes a lot of controversy because of it and because of other reasons as well. How did you find Pump.Fun and what were your first thoughts on it?
I found it because Alon slipped through my DMs and told me about it. And
he did that with a lot of people.
I know. And like, kudos to him. Like, I think that that's really fucking cool. Like, I'm always just naturally curious. So if someone sends me something interesting, they say they're doing something new, I'll always check it out. And I saw it and I was like, okay, this is 4chan, like threads for on-chain. You know what I mean? Like, it was the idea that like, you can generate all of these memes, like the best will rise to the top. And like, it instantly like clicked for me and I was like, this is the shit. Like, let's try it out. And it just kind of happened to be, it happened to come about just as an idea. Well, basically like once this happened, then I was really toying with the idea of like, can meme coins be art? Cause like, I think that like we've proven that like NFTs as a medium can be art. Not all NFTs are art, but some can be, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was kind of immersed in like the meme coin world a little bit, but I wasn't terribly excited about a lot of the meme coins. Like, it seemed to me like just a game of like really high stakes musical chairs.
Yeah.
And so the idea for Pussy and Bio kind of came out of that.
Got it. Yes. Pussy and Bio. And what was I about to say? I forget. But anyway, Pussy and Bio, that was the first coin to really make it out the trenches and Pump.Fun, really make it out the bonding curve to like make the first splash. And we actually had Alon on and he told the story of Pussy and Bio on Flywheel.
Oh, that's sick. I saw that and I was just like, hell yeah. But I don't think it was the first one to make it out of the bonding curve by any means, but
it was the first big one.
I think it was like the first like culture coin that Pump.Fun generated. Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, like in my mind at least, where it felt like it was something talking about like what it felt to like be online at that moment. And it kind of like encapsulated like the vibe at the time.
Yeah. What's the difference between a meme coin and a culture coin? And where is that line? And like, where's the line between art and kind of like just pushy grift or something?
So what's the difference between a meme coin and a culture coin? I think that like all meme coins are some sort of memetics that allows for like the solving of like coordination problems around capital. So it's a meme that allows people and stakeholders to rally around, find each other, and contribute, whether it be like capital, liquidity, socials, proliferate, basically anything to like proliferate the meme and an attention economy. And I think that some of them transcend the meme coin kind of like moniker to become culture coins in the sense that they kind of encapsulate a moment or like an idea, and then people can rally around that and it means something to like hold that coin or like be a part of that community. So I guess I would say like simple terms, like all culture coins are meme coins, but not all meme coins are culture coins, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you basically have to graduate to become a culture coin. Like, yeah, any idea can be a meme coin.
Yeah.
But for there to be some deep connection, something deeper and I guess more Lindy per se, that's when it becomes a culture coin. I really liked what you said about it's a coordination mechanism. It's the same way it's a coordination mechanism. Like Bitcoin is a coordination mechanism with like how proof of work works. Like this is just a social, it's done socially. It's a social mechanism to get people to rally around an idea. And there's just like now a financial part of it. There's like literal actual value and stakes a part of it.
No, I think that's really cool because it allows like these kind of like decentralized groups to then all of a sudden have the funding to like really run with it and generate stuff. And so like, depending on what the idea is, it can, you can fabricate anything, you know, like out of this kind of like primordial soup that is like the chain.
Yeah, but it's not, like you said, not all meme coins become culture coins. Only like certain select ones in a particular moment, like whether it's like a hotspot. It needs to be like the right place, the right time. That's what it has always been. And that's kind of how Pussy and Bio came in about. So can you give the story, like how did Pussy and Bio happen? What's the lore behind it and everything? Like, can you just go, how did that come about?
Yeah. So like, I mean, I was really interested in the idea of like, can meme coins be art? Like, so we knew that like NFTs could be art in some senses or like in some like cases. And I thought it was so funny. Basically, like there was a problem on Twitter where there was a spam problem. And there were all these spam bots of like pretty sketchy origin that no one could really track down that would auto reply almost every tweet with Pussy and Bio. And you would get these like really hilarious interactions where it'd be like someone be like, my cat just died, or like, you know, like I didn't get into like the college, and it would just be like Pussy and Bio from like a bot account, which hit it like immediately. And so like, it was like, it almost became like very charming to me. Like, cause you could always count on them. Like, you know, like those,
it's
girls
reliable.
Those girls are working so hard, you know? And like, this happened at the same time that like, there was like this strange kind of trend that's developed, which I don't love, of like rating within, meme coins. Like once that kind of like the attention economy narrative like took on, all of a sudden you would get like fucking Zerg rushed by like an entire Twitter, or sorry, a Telegram with like 100 people like commenting like, buy Ballcock 24. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, it got really weird. And like these Zerg rushes just like kept coming. And I was like, the Pussy and Bio is like the ultimate shill, because like, yeah, like it's going to, everyone's tweet is going to get hit. Like if you like Pussy and Bio, you're still going to get a Pussy and Bio on your tweet. If you hate it, you're still going to get Pussy and Bio. Like you can't stop it. And it just got funnier and funnier. Like, the more it became like a punchline, like with Elon, kind of like Elon Musk, like being unable to stop it. So then you have this situation where you have like the most powerful man in the world, like the richest man in the world, at least, unable to stop like these pussy bots. And I was like, this is so fucking funny. It's like the show that cannot be stopped. And I was like, who's making this coin? And I was like trying to find it to see if I could like buy it. I was like, this is gonna run, like this is genius. And there was no coin. I was like, what a great way to test out pumped up fun. And like it just hit, like it was like bonded out, like instantly everyone got the joke. Girls got the joke, which I thought was like really interesting. Like they were like, this is our joke, because like there was like a bit of like a double entendre in it. Like we're like, oh, it's like, it's a cat coin. And so like all of a sudden girls can make jokes not at their own expense and like run with it. And so it became really cool. Like it became a chance for us to like try to like make art out of it. And it was a wild ride for sure.
It's really a social commentary about that particular moment in time. It's really like you said, Pussy and Bio under all the tweets, unstoppable, not even the richest man in the world, owns the platform itself, has total control, cannot stop these bots from saying Pussy and Bio. And there's no better way to make a mockery of it than to come up with a fucking meme coin of it. And then it just took off from there.
And then it got really fucking weird, right? So like, Elon got really upset with it. Like the more media attention that it got, the more he got upset with it. And Twitter
said, there's nothing that brings more media attention than something of financial value.
Yeah, Streisand effect. So like you get like the situation where Pussy and Bio is no longer a searchable term at all on Twitter. Then you get, we had a group chat with like maybe like 100 people in it. Some of them like were girls who had never posted the ticker, but like were like wanted to be in the group chat, wanted to be involved, were making memes, but like didn't necessarily want to be posting Pussy on the timeline. For personal brand reasons, I can understand. Yeah. But then they just fucking nuked it from space. Like all of a sudden people that had not even posted it, like 120, 140 of us like instantly got our Twitters totally like banned, suspended permanently, like no redress. And then we were like, holy shit, what just happened? So like it obviously like caught someone's attention, you know, like I'm not saying it was Elon Musk himself, but like he's pretty online too. So like it got really crazy. And then, but like you had people like Grimes, creative director, like Pussy and Bio posting. So like we tried our best to like make appeals, but like officially and unofficially to like people within Elon's orbit. And then instantly like everyone is reinstated as if nothing had happened. And we'll never really know like what happened, but like,
oh, that's crazy.
That was kind of like when like Pussy, I felt like when Pussy went hardcore, everyone was like, okay, like this is a fucking cult now, you know, like,
went through that dark period. It went through that period of adversity where a community comes together, and that was the moment, the Pussy and Bio, basically, when you guys all got banned.
Yeah. And I think that that's an important step for any sort of like cult or like online community is like
the dark side.
Yeah. Like everyone expects it to like, why didn't my coin go up in a straight line? It's like, that's not really how it works. You know what I mean? Like it's the people that like post kind of through the rough periods that like, I feel like some of the best memes are born or like forged, you know, like you have to get hardcore for it to like stick around.
Yeah. It's like Bitcoin after its first and second run, especially between 2014 and 2016, where complete darkness, literal darkness after Mt. Gox. It was Ethereum and the DAO hack in 2016. Everybody thought it was over, complete darkness. It was FTX for Solana in 2022. You know, from $250 to $8, complete darkness. Like you have to go through this dark time as a community if you're going to make it and be something. You can't just have a straight line up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, I don't know, maybe like that's something that like new people have to learn. But like, I feel like if you've been in the space for a little bit, like that's where like legends are forged. You know what I mean? It's not the up only. It's the down bad that like you decide whether you're going to stick around or not.
Yeah. It is from being so over that you can only get to so back.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And so, okay. So that happens, the whole Pussy and Bio saga, and Pussy Bio is still around. You guys still have that like, cult forged. It may not be like as like prominent on Twitter, but you guys are like still, it's still there.
Yeah. So it's been really interesting because like, because of like the people that like were involved, like a lot, cause like a lot of like, just like normie girls, like really wanted, like they got the joke. They loved the joke. They wanted to hold the coin. It was the first coin or first interaction with crypto they've ever had.
This is real onboarding right here,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, no, like straight up. Like they just, they don't know how to sell. They don't want to sell. They'd rather be able to say that they're a pussy millionaire than to ever like get any sort of financial gain out of it. And they show up every morning and like in the group chat and they're like, posting Pussy, not like actual Pussy, but like they're Pussy and Bio-ing, you know? And like, I think that's really cool. And so like, it took like a very different trajectory. I think like, because it was like treated as an art project on chain rather than just strictly like a financial asset, it attracted like a much more culturally interested or culturally like invested kind of like holder. And so I don't know when this is going to run, like this podcast, but like there's a plan for like what is going to evolve into next, so we're, I just have to make sure to like buy a bit more before this goes up. This is basically what
we're going to release this on Monday, so today's okay, Thursday, cool. So Monday, yeah
okay.
But yeah, you make, so girls that have never touched crypto before, their first interaction is buying Pussy and Bio, and I think this says a lot about this new cycle that we're in and the new participants. And you have CT. I feel like this era of CT, especially like I've been around since 2017, like between like 2017 and like 2023, you kind of had this like group of people coalesce on CT that are like really, they may be really into the tech, decentralization, the infra, like they're into like the nerdy part of crypto more or less. But now with these like newer participants, they really don't give a fuck about any of that. They care more about the culture, the memes, like how it makes them feel. They could care less what a fucking bonding curve is. They just want to hold the coin. And so I think like, what have you noticed about this new generation of participants that are like getting on chain for the first time? And where do you think CT's blind spots, whether they're like class of 2017, 2018, class of 20, 2021, like where do you think their blind spots are?
I feel like, yeah, like I feel like early CT days, like it was like a lot of like libertarians, people interested in black or gray markets, you know, like a lot of like engineers and like kind of like distributed system like advocates, you know, like for lack of a better term. And I think that it is skewed really heavily towards like computer comp sci people, you know, like engineers, mathematicians, nerds, basically.
Yeah.
And then I think that it shifted a bit with NFTs and, but like in a way that I wasn't kind of expecting, like I assumed it would be like actual like kind of like art collectors, but I think that they were more kind of collectors in the sense of like a comic or like collectible like collectors, you know, like kind of like engaging with like some of the early collectors that I spoke with in the space. They had like a much more analytical kind of viewpoint. They were much more interested in rarity than like the actual art or the aesthetics or like the cultural importance of like different pieces, like in my experience that I found. And then I think that like Solana, especially like meme coins, are onboarded an entire like new generation of people, and they're coming from like totally different backgrounds. And I think that that should be like what CT or crypto wants, you know, like. We don't, there's only so many computer scientists in the world.
There's only
you know
so many nerds out there.
Yeah. Like you want, like, the girls, you know, who don't give a fuck about like your comp sci degree to like be making culture. Like you want people that are like coming from like completely new backgrounds to come in, and you want people making like culturally relevant and new things that are sticky, like in and outside of culture. And I think that that's really cool. And I think that that's also like a blind spot for CT. Like, I think that like, CT is really bad at kind of understanding broader cultural trends or like their place within it, which is why you consistently get so much fucking cringe, you know, like constantly. And so I think they're like slow to adapt. And I think that it's probably like a blind spot that like is like unnecessarily curbing adoption. It's Got just it. Really, it's really hard to onboard people. It still is. And like, we don't do ourselves any favors, I feel like.
No, not at all. And this podcast in particular, I joke and I say the motto of this podcast is it's the podcast for the people already onboarded. It's the podcast for the people that like have been in crypto for a bit that have like that are like deeper into the tech. Like, especially if I usually have my co-host Kit with me, and Kit will get super deep into the details. And that's what nerds love. And I love my nerds. I'm a nerd myself.
I'm a nerd too. Yeah. Like I dig it. Like, you know, like,
we but that's not going to onboard like the next actual million users.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's interesting to see. So yeah, CT blind. And also you see now, like, I feel like CT likes to go into their old tropes. Like, I love DeFi and people are like trying to make DeFi come back. I see
play,
DeFi
play the hits. Yeah. Like play I get it. Like I
yeah,
get
play,
it.
Yeah. Like play like what's comfortable and like, sure, it like may come back, it may get like an institutional bid, like it possibly will, but like it's like I feel like DeFi is in this weird adolescent like middle child kind of phase where it's like not exactly the new shiny object, but it's definitely not like TradFi and like they feel comfortable touching yet.
It's not the new shiny object, but it's still scary to like I
it's still
like
scary
a lot of, yeah.
And so it's like it's in this like weird middle growth phase. Like it will eventually get to that institutional phase where like institutional and people that like understand the meme of DeFi and more than the meme, it understands like why it's valuable, will like go and like place the bid.
I mean,
it's just like not there yet. Yeah.
Programmable money is inevitable. Like, you know, the trajectory is just kind of timing it on a short time horizon is probably difficult.
Yeah. I kind of view where DeFi is. I'm kind of projecting here. But where Bitcoin was in like 2014, 2015, where you knew it was going to be something, you know, it had a use case and product market fit, but it was just so desolate and dark. And it seemed like there was no light at the end of the tunnel and that it was so over that it was like hard to see into the future. And now 10 years later, there's a fucking Bitcoin ETF. I can't even imagine where DeFi is going to be 10 years from now. Like who knows? If, like my thesis is like, it's going to underlie all of global finance and none of this, not even like none of this meme coin stuff would be possible without DeFi.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to agree. Like, I think everything goes on chain, you know, like in the same way as software with the world, I think like everything, maybe not everything, but like what should be on chain will be on chain. And what, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. And to your point back to like CT and culture and CT having blind spots, I would also argue that sometimes the opposite is true and CT creates culture. I can't tell you.
CT is definitely creating culture. And that's why I'm so interested and excited about it. Like it's one of the few places I think that is generating. It's like a hot culture, like it's generative.
Oh, I was going to say, there's nothing I love more than going on Instagram and seeing like a screenshot from Lawrence or Lucas. And I'm like, or Hirsch or like, or DRT. Like I'm like on some meme account and they have no idea. It's a crypto person.
Yeah. I saw like on Facebook, like Ara's like hamburger post. And I was just like, holy shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think it's really cool. Like, I think that like CT is one of the few places that like, not only financially, but just like as an ethos, like incentivizes like fucking around and finding out and like experimentation, even if it doesn't work out. Like, it's kind of the Wild West in the sense that like everyone's just trying shit. And I think that's like what like avant cultures do, you know, like they try shit, they try new shit, they try more shit, you know, like, and they figure out what works. And like, that's really exciting for me because like, that's what produces culture. Exactly. And like, cream will rise to the top.
Yeah. And like you said, like you've always been a part of these bleeding edge cultural movements, whether it's like avant-garde art or like, you know, culture coins now. Can you give like more comparisons and similarities you see between like, or like what was like, let's go back to 2011 or like 2014, 2015. What were like the avant-garde art days like? And like what things happen now in crypto and with culture coins that remind you of those days?
I mean, so like I was working like as like the house video for like New York Fashion Week, Made Fashion Week. I was shooting every fashion show like 5 a day for like, you know, like 2 seasons a year. So I'd go see every show, go to every like party, and it was all kind of the same, you know, like there's like best practices, like do this, don't do that. Like you see like a meme coin, so you know, like do this, don't do that. And then like I saw this artist, this designer, Telfair Clemens, and I went to the after party.
The Bushwick Birkin.
But the afters for the show was in the basement of a White Castle in Times Square. And I was like, holy shit, what? You know, like, and so like, all of a sudden, like the vice president of White Castle, who I thought was a security guard, because he was the only guy dressed in a suit, like I asked him if I could like get in the bathroom, and he like pulled his like hamburger pin and was like, hold on, let me check, and like pretended to talk into it. And I was just like, he was like, oh, sorry, the rental scanners are down. I was like, what is going on? And like, they're like, they had all the like White Castle people there, and they were all like twerking while they're cooking burgers and like throwing them out to all the drunk kids. And like, they were just bottles and bottles of like vodka next to like the like soda machines. And they had like the basement, like it was just all lit up in blue. It was just like an unfinished basement underneath this White Castle in the middle of Times Square. I was like, this is some war I'll share. Like, this is really fucking awesome. And it turned out I was the only person that shot video like that night. Like their videographer dropped out. And so I was like, I need to be working with you guys. Like, and I don't know, like from there, I just started collaborating with them and following them around the world. Like,
With Telfair?
It was just kind of like people doing shit, people doing new shit, people trying shit that like you hadn't seen before, that like kind of like touched on some sort of like truth or like DIY kind of like way of getting to like the core of what could be possible. Like that was really exciting to me. Like that's always been exciting to me.
And I see the similarities, whether it's like with a New York Fashion Week party that is like somewhere you wouldn't expect, but it just hits like underground, in a basement in Times Square under a White Castle. There's like this party happening that you wouldn't think of. Like, what are vodka bottles like doing next to a soda machine in this White Castle? That's like the last place I would think there to be.
But like, if you're a kid, that's all you fucking need. Like some White Castle burgers, like a basement, a CDJ, and like a bottle of vodka with like a Fanta machine next to it. Like, what else more do you need? Like, it was like perfect. Like, it was just like,
that's so cool. That's so sick.
You know, like all you have to do to get away with something is make it happen, and that's like a really low bar. That's like kind of like what I learned. Like, reality is kind of permeable. Like it's what you can get away with. And it's, you know, like that's kind of like the ethos of like when I notice people working or like kind of like moving like that, I'm like, okay, that's a hot culture. They're doing shit. They're making shit.
Sorry. Yeah. And I can see how this translates to crypto and culture coins in particular. It's like reality is what you make of it. Reality is what you can get away with. And like nothing says get away with something more than dropping a culture coin that runs.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like the ones that run, like What do I want to say? Like, I think the ones that run are the ones that, like, touch on some sort of truth or, like, some sort of, like, they hit a vein. You know what I mean? Like, I think, like, Whiff was, like, the ones that wanted to believe that there could be, like, a Solana meme coin run. You know, like, I remember, like, people posting, like, 500K. You know, like, oh, my God, it hit a million. This is crazy. You know, like, it was kind of, like, proof of concept. And it was, like, the early believers that wasn't, like, shot in. And then I think, like, Bowden was kind of, it's not a one-off. We can do it again. And, you know, like, but then after they proved that, there was kind of no reason for it to exist. You know? And then, like, Pussy and Bio was kind of like, all right, we're like, this is, like, this bot core kind of existence online that we have right now. Like, you have, like, Nigabut token, which is, like, basically saying no homo in the group chat. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, it hits on some
platonic universal truth in the realm of forms that is, like, brought down to earth and coalesced and crystallized somewhere on chain.
That people can rally around and be, like, you know, like, if you see it and you're, like, true, like, that's something you should buy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And so this is, like, the key to, like, finding a good culture coin. It's like it hits on some universal truth. It's some commentary of the times that rings true, that, like, speaks to some, like, to people to the, in their core that they know that's true. And sometimes they can't explain it in words. They can't articulate it, but they just have a sense of knowing.
Yeah. And I think that that's what, like, a lot of memes do. Like, that's why, like, I think, like, grown men, like, a lot of your relationships is, like, just sending each other, like, memes back and forth. Because, you know what I mean? Like, it communicates so much. Like, it's like a good meme distills a very complex idea into something transferable
easily. Yeah, a picture says 1,000 words.
Yeah, like a good meme says 1,000,000,000,000. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, like, that's why, like, when I saw the fucking ball up top post, I was like, oh my God, that's the one. That's it. Like, it was so stoic. It was, like, so relatable. You know, like, damn, I just
Let's get into ball up top. Like, how did that come about?
So there's this Twitter post, and it's only, like, a week old, mind you. But it was this guy, and he had been posting for, like, a year or so about, like, how he wanted to have a daughter. How, like, you know, like, whoever he fell in love with, his daughter would be the real love of his life. He was going to, like, break, you know, like, generations of trauma. And, like, it was going to be his princess. And then he gets a girl pregnant, he believes, his girlfriend. And for 9 months, he's posting about the pregnancy. He can't wait for the daughter. He posts a picture of, like, himself, like, in, like, the nursery, being like, they capture me on the best day of my life ever. And then, like, 4 days, 5 days later, he, like, quote tweets it and says, she's not mine, ball up top. And that's it. And I was like, oh. And, like, everyone saw that and everyone was like, yo. But, like, in that ball up top, like, it was so stoic and, like, I'm still in the game, like,
still in the game.
And, like, for the last, like, month or two, like, the, like, vibes on CT have been so bleak. And, like, because I think that, like, people's dopamine just generally, like, on the timeline is so fucked up from, like, these, like, mini, you know, like, bull runs, like, with, like, meme coins and stuff that, like, they couldn't handle a month or two of chop. You know what I mean? Like, there's, like, such a short time view, and it oscillates so bipolar that I was like, we need something, you know, like, we need some meme or, like, memetic that's like, we're still here. Like, there's, you know, like, we're still in the game. And then when I saw ball up top, I was like, that's it. Like, that's it. Like, it's so obvious. And so I, like, was like, fuck. Like, I sat around for a day and I was like, I don't know if I have, like, the bandwidth.
Someone must have made it, this and that.
Yeah, and I, like, I was kept looking and no one had made it. And I was like, you know, 5 hours ago by, I look and no one had made it. And then, you know, like, I was in bed with my girlfriend and, like I think it was like 1 a.m. And I, like, got up and she was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm sorry, I have to do this. And then, like, I just, like, launched it with, like, you know, no website, no Telegram, just literally, like, the LeBron James, like, Game 6, like, iconic, like, looking up, like, pass me the ball face meme. And I was like, this is it. And it, like, instantly bonded. And I think, like, I had saw this stat. I don't know if this is true, but it was, like, at the time, like, for, like, the last 13 days, like, there was, like, 16,000 coins launched a day on Pump Font. I think, like, a dozen had bonded. One had, like, gone above, like, 100,000. And then, like, ball up top just, like, hit, like, crack. Like, it was just, like, it just shot up. And then
it hit some universal truth.
I think so. And like enough so that like I could like wait till the next day, because I launched it, you know, like 1 a.m. to like make a Twitter for it, like to make a social for it, like even without any sort of like support that you would, everyone says is like super critical. It just worked because everyone got it. Like it didn't need an explanation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think for these things to proliferate, and with any project, it's one thing to like launch the thing, but you need to have like the other side perpetuate the meme itself. And that's what's like so key with whether it's Pussy in Bio, A Ball Up Top. It's not just you. You're more so of like the shepherd. It's like everyone else in the pack that is like tweeting Ball Up Top. Hell, and maybe they don't even know Ball Up Top is a coin, but they're just fucking tweeting Ball Up Top. And then it just like is a flywheel. It's a self-perpetuating prophecy where like more and more attention goes to the meme and therefore goes into the coin.
Yeah, I feel like a good meme coin is like a good film director, in the sense that like they're like the immune system for like the project. And like their job is to make sure like the vibes are correct. And
they're
like
a curator, yeah.
Yeah, and like your job is to like give people the tools to be able to like contribute to it, you know? So like it's setting up a place for them to congregate. It's keeping it clean. It's giving like them the like memetic language to run with it. And like the best meme coins start to like self-proliferate. And like once these people, because like people want to contribute, a lot of people like don't know necessarily how, but if you give them all the tools, they can fucking run to like the end goal with it. You know what I mean? Like they want their memes to do well, and like giving them a meme that like they want to promote, they want to be a part of, and then the tools to promote it is like how I think like things really take off.
Exactly. Put people in the place where they can succeed. Put people in the place where they can like actually do shit.
Put them in the game and give them the ball. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, keep passing the way. Yeah, ball up top.
So, yeah, it's been a crazy 4 days. I'm very tired. I swear I'm very excited to be here. I'm just like, my eyes are bleeding. But it's been cool. Like, I haven't seen a community that come around something, that come together like this.
What's a Ball Up Top community like compared to the Pussy and Bio community and other communities that you've seen?
I think that the Pussy and Bio community is very art-centric. It's very, the vibe is just very different. You know, like it's about being alive and online right now. I think the Ball Up Top community is really cool because it's very hopeful. It's like very kind of like, doesn't matter what has happened, bet on yourself. And like, they're just very different motivations, you know, like how the memes proliferate. I think the Pussy Bio like skews art. I think the Ball Up Top one is fucking hype. Like it gets people excited. Like fuck the price action. Like let's push this. Like let's go. You know what I mean? Like
yeah, the Ball Up Top.
Yeah, and so like I haven't seen like a community like come together and start working like this. Like the memes that they keep making are endless. Like someone will be like, "Hey, I made some memes. So I was wondering if I could send them your way." And then it'll be like 40 memes, or like, you know what I mean? Like a whole sticker pack. Like people are making hundreds and hundreds of memes like faster. Like, cause like, I feel like other communities like, or like meme coins are like, "Hey, we paid like this person. He's going to make like a video a week." And like this community is just generating like 40 videos a day. Like,
no, the best communities just don't have to pay them. Like they just do it.
Yeah, it's like people are like, "Oh, are you getting callers?" It's like, we don't need to. Everyone's posting Ball Up Top. You know what I mean? Like, you can't fake or pay for this kind of attention, or like you can't fake or pay for this kind of content. People either like are excited and hyped and like having fun with it, or they're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very binary. It's like yes or no. And like right now, like the ball is in your court. Like you guys have the ball. And so, I was also thinking during this interview, you mentioned like, you know, it like these coins are like areas of crypto, they like when they're hot, they like shine a light on some universal truth. And I feel like DeFi in 2020, DeFi summer, there was some universal truth that there was a light shine there. It's like, hey, like there is an alternative financial system that can be created. Like there is like another path, there is a way that we can evolve, and everyone got excited about it. And then like move into like the future, like you kind of saw like the same hopefulness with DAOs, and kind of saw the same hopefulness with like, I guess like AI and stuff. Like it's like everyone knows it's going to be a thing, but then like after everyone like it only has like so much time in the sun until like that light is gone and like people move on. And like that truth is like still there, but it's like the energy has like shifted to the next thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Everyone wants to eat the cake. No one wants to make the cake. You know what I mean? It's like a tale as old as time. But like, I think that like, yeah, I mean, the narrative's there. The narrative makes sense. Everyone knows it's possible now. But now it's like the nitty gritty of building it. That like is always takes a little longer than you expect it to, I imagine.
It's always a little bit longer than you expect, and then it comes like the least when you expect it. I swear to God.
No, I mean, I think that like, I don't know enough about like the infra side to like make this comparison, but like culturally, I feel like things always kind of start like forest fires. It's like a lot of little sparks, and then all of a sudden you have a blaze. So it's like slowly and then all at once. And I think that like with AI, like there was, you know, like talk of AI forever, and then people got ChatGPT, and then it clicked for like everyone. And I think that like the same probably happened with Pumped Up Fun. And I think that like these kind of like killer apps or like use cases that are like demonstrable are like what clicked the narrative back into like high gear. And I think that that's probably coming.
Yeah, it's basically these things take different elements that already existed, like ingredients for a cake, and then something comes out like hell. Like Bitcoin is a combination of like computer science and then like economic theory and like all this other stuff. Pump.fun was a combination of like DeFi with like memes and culture. It's like the bonding curve is nothing special, like the AMM is nothing special, but if you like dress it up in some form and you like present it in some way, it is turns into something novel and new and has a life of its own.
I mean, if you do something and you do it with enough finesse, that's style. You know what I mean? And I think that that's what you saw. You know, like Pumped Up Fun is a style of going about it. And it's that style that succeeded.
Yeah. And it's really funny seeing people try to make forks of Pumped Fun. Or you see it with another example is like Polymarket. Like, prediction markets are fucking hard. They're really hard to make and maintain and like keep going. And I don't see how, like, I mean, Polymarket's been around since 2020. It's not the first prediction market. Like, hell, there was Augur before that. And like, there was other prediction markets around when Polymarket came out in 2020 during the election. There's like, you can like Google articles about it, but it's the one that survived. And like, it's the one that's like developed Lindy, and it's like the one that has the most mind share and people know about. When people say prediction markets, they say Pumped on Fun. It's the one that is on the news on like CBS. It's the one that Trump's tweeting on his social network and be like, look at my look at my Polymarket poll, the Polymarket right now. Like I'm winning this. Like it's the one that has memetic mind share. And so like the same thing happened with like, I don't see how like forks overtake these things, whether it's like Pump.fun or Polymarket.
Yeah, so I mean, just, like, yeah. No. I mean, I tend to agree. Like, I think that like it's pretty like common knowledge. Like, at least in like meme space, like never chase the beta. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I guess it makes sense to like do it for like different chains because everybody now wants to have a whiff. You know, like you see with Tron and stuff, but like. First in class, best in class, you know, like there's a reason they work, and it's very difficult to like replicate a vibe and a network effect at the same time. And like that does become a trench, I think.
Yeah, it's why Ethereum succeeded, and anybody that branded themselves as an Ethereum killer, they're not here anymore. It's like Uniswap is still here, and even though it's been forked so many times, Uniswap is still king for a reason. It's why Aave is like number one. My dad said this quote to me earlier this year. I'll never forget it. And we were like talking about like investing. He was like, Dave, like the biggest mistake I ever made was like investing in like the number two or three or something. You want to invest in like the Facebooks and not the Pinterest. You want to invest in the NVIDIAs and not the AMDs. Like you always want to invest in the best because they're going to be the runaway winners. They're going to be a runaway winner by a margin. And unless like the whoever's like behind them differentiate themselves as like forge you a new path in creating something novel and new where they're the best in, like you shouldn't even touch it.
If you're the one blazing the path, anyone following your path has no idea what it looked like before they got there. Mm-hmm. There's so many insights and things that you have to develop conceptually, I think, than like blazing a path, be it like culturally in these instances that like everyone can like copy the recipe, but they're never going to get the sauce right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why Bitcoin is untouchable, because you're going to never copy that sauce. Absolutely not. I wonder though, with like Ethereum and Solana and like all these like new chains coming out, I mean, especially with Solana, you know, getting so much more traction. And I think I was like talking about it last night with people, like a lot of people, like their first time using the chain is on Solana. They don't even touch Ethereum. I think if I like just joined crypto today, I'm not sure if I would touch Ethereum. I feel like I'd just be, you know, in the trenches on Solana. So like, do you think, you know, Ethereum's position is threatened here, or do you think Ethereum still has the network effect?
I think Solana has the culture. I think that like they took for granted what was happening. Like, I think everyone wants to like 2020 prices, you know, like in vibes, but like at the same time, like you have like Vitalik and like all the like ETH maxis like lecturing you constantly about how like meme coins are evil and it should be run by like a homeowners association instead, and like why aren't you curing cancer, and it's like fuck off, like you know, like let kids have fun, like let people have fun, like let people speculate, let people try things, like there's a reason like people went to Solana. Like if it costs $15 to do anything, like no one's making their first bag on Ethereum. They're making it in the trenches on Solana. So that's where the liquidity goes. You know, like if someone shows up with like $500 on a Phantom wallet, their chance of like either losing it and learning very quickly about how the game is played or like making a bag, it's going to happen on Solana. It's not going to happen on Ethereum. There's no motion right now. You know what I mean? And like the narratives I don't think are very compelling for new entrants. Like,
what do you think? Yeah, what do you think Ethereum can do to get that motion back?
I think there's be like a vibe shift. I think that like people are naturally going to gravitate to where the culture is being created. I think that I just think that Solana right now, I think that like they have to have like some real soul searching, you know, like
yeah, I feel like that hasn't happened yet, and people are still stuck in their ivory towers.
There's like this like very like frustrating sense of moral superiority that I feel like is like a turnoff to like most people. Like you're being talked down to and you're expected to just admit that they're right and then invest in something that they bought into and got rich off of 5-10 years ago. It's like
fuck off.
Yeah, it's like fuck off. Like I don't think anyone that's like new to the game is gonna be starting there or making their money there.
Yeah, I feel like...
Like, yes, it's more secure. Yes, it's more decentralized. Yes. But how much does that matter to someone who has, like, $1,000 or $5,000 in their port? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I feel like where Ethereum is now, Bitcoin was in 2020, 2021, when their culture was facing a period of stagnation and cringe, and it felt like... Yeah, it felt like Bitcoin was very stagnant in 2021. It's like, oh, this is like a pet rock. There's like, it's only people hoarding it. Like, there's nothing happening here. Ethereum, that's where like, that's where the motion is. That's where the energy is. That's where the culture is. And it really was true at the time. But it's funny to see how things change. And Bitcoin ended up getting motion with ordinals and BRC20s.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm a fan of Ethereum. I hold Ethereum. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying...
No. We're having these discussions out of love. I love Ethereum.
Yeah.
I call myself an Ethereum romantic.
Oh. But, like, I just think that, like, if you're looking at it objectively, like, there's a reason that the culture is on Solana and nothing they're doing is helping that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, like... there's a change that's needed. Like how that change will happen, I don't know. Who knows what will be? Who knows? But we'll see. Fingers crossed, something will happen.
I'm sure it will. Yeah.
A few more questions. Well, one last interview question, and then like we have like a post game question. Where do you see? What's the future for culture coins and meme coins? Where do we go from here? And what does it say about wider trends in crypto over the next few years?
I think there's going to be like another evolution of culture coins or meme coins. Cause I think that like as they exist now, like everything trends to zero eventually if they don't find some sort of spendability or like deflationary mechanism. Like, and I'm not talking about like when they're like dev burned, whatever percent, because I think that that's just like...
It's a meme.
Yeah, it's just a meme. Like, I'm talking about like... I guess I think that like the real culture coins become somewhat of like brands or like kind of totems like in their own right that people like want to associate them with, or they become like symbols, you know? And then I think they kind of like spin off their own kind of like ecosystems or communities. And it doesn't have to necessarily be like, oh, Starbucks is accepting ball up top, but like, maybe that's like a gated chat, you know what I mean? For people that like really believe in it. And there is a gatekeeper, because I think gatekeeping is important, you know, like in these kind of situations. Like,
yes, if
you
want to, I think gatekeeping is underrated.
I think gatekeeping is crucial to have any sort of like thriving living culture.
Thriving living, anything. It's kind of like, if you just have like open gates and open borders and everyone can come through, there's no filtering mechanism. There's no way to, there's no methodology to just like judge what's coming in. There's no quality control basically without gatekeeping.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
So I could see like a world where like the biggest of them become, I don't want to say brands, because I think that like that just kind of like is in my mind, like I associate that with like the celebrity coins or like kind of influencer kind of brands. Like, I think that they become brands in the sense that like the community takes the coin and makes it into like a cultural, like, landmark of some sort, and then like an ecosystem kind of springs around that. And like you kind of see that with like Retardio and like, you know, like the NFTs that they kind of spin out of that. Like, I think that like they can generate like ecosystems around themselves,
or like Harry Potter or something. Yeah, like that.
Like, I think that like, but I think that it's going to go a step further too. Like, I think there's going to be like spendability. I think that has to come into it at some capacity. For
it
them
sounds
to
like
have
some,
value.
Some network stink element here. I hate networks. Network stink to me is cringe, but like, it sounds like a network state kind of element here. It's like spendability within the community. It's like, oh, this is like our thing.
Yeah, I think that like people just have to know, like, at the end of the day, it's going to accrue value. Cause like, I feel like these strange kind of games get played where then like, otherwise it just becomes like a game of like chasing liquidity, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, what do you mean by chasing liquidity?
Like, I feel like,
do you mean like the only thing, the purpose of the coin is to have liquidity and to trade it, and if that's the only purpose of the coin, it's like down only, there needs to be something deeper?
Yeah, that's basically okay, what I'm saying. Yeah.
I got it. Yeah, I feel like a lot of DeFi coins suffer through that problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of coins in general, honestly. But yeah, it's really about like what you're touching upon here. It's like really about something deeper than the coin. It's like people have a emotional attachment. They have something, a deeper attachment and connection to the coin, because it's more than a coin. It's a totem. It's a symbol for something. And yeah, before they were like represented as like art. And now that art is just represented on chain as a meme coin and culture coin. And I think it's just fucking awesome. I think it's fucking cool. And I've loved this interview. This is probably one of my favorite interviews I've done as a memetic scholar. So like, I really appreciate you have it coming on. I actually like was thinking about it before. I want like a little story is, at my first job, I was at this like encyclopedia, Everpedia, and it was like my job to get hits. It was my job to basically write pages, these encyclopedia pages for up and coming topics in culture. And so I had to be like constantly living online, figuring out like what's hot right now, like what's like evergreen. And the best example I can think of is like I had the SoundCloud rap beat. And so whenever there was like a new SoundCloud rapper that came out, I'd watch like No Jumper or like some shit like that. And
that
I'd
makes
be like
so much sense that you're on the SoundCloud beat. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell and so yeah. And so like I was
SoundCloud
on...
is so important for culture. Like, I don't think people realize.
No,
like...
I think it's vital. I think it was like one of like the last great like cultural primordial soups that created something novel and new was SoundCloud rap. And so like I remember like I think the best example is we made pages for like, you know, Juice WRLD and like 6ix9ine. 6ix9ine is the best example because I remember one day it was like I see this like picture of some like rainbow haired dude with like a 6ix9ine tattoo on his forehead. I didn't even know he's a rapper. I just saw this like ridiculous character online and I just made his like Everpedia page. And then it was only after I made his page that I found out that he was an actual artist. I'm like, oh shit. And so then I like, you know, obviously like edit his page. Then he comes out with like a No Jumper interview after that. And then I was able to get like an actual bio of him. And for like 6, 7, or 8 months, Wikipedia refused to make a page for him. But everybody was trying to figure out who the fuck is this like rainbow haired rapper, 6ix9ine. He like had culture in a chokehold. I don't think people remember, but he really had, from like Gummo to like till he got arrested, like it was like 6ix9ine season, and like everybody was like searching like who the fuck is this guy, and well, all dude, the traffic.
I'd met him because like before he was 6ix9ine, he was just with Danny.
He was just like a kid in New York doing shit for attention.
Well, he was working at the bodega around the corner from my friend's house. He was the guy making sandwiches, and so he like had all the 6ix9ine tattoos on. Like he made the worst sandwiches. Like it was like only like you'd only go if Danny was working. Like if you were drunk and you couldn't walk further, like, you know what I mean? Like they would have horrible sandwiches, but like, he was always funny.
Wait, what? Wait, can you get, so 6ix9ine major sandwiches at your local bodega? Can, like, what was he like? Like, what, can you tell more about this?
He was cool. Like,
it's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. That's fucking hilarious. But yeah, so like, anyways, eventually he gets like a Wikipedia page and he becomes 6ix9ine.
Yeah, he blew up.
It blew up. But
like I just remember it because like he had like all the 6ix9ine tattoos on his arms, like his arms were like covered. I was like, holy shit, like, you know what I mean? Like he was like a you knew he was gonna do something else after that. Like it was obvious. Like he wasn't there to make sandwiches, like, but he was a cool guy. Yeah, like,
yeah, that's so funny. And so honestly, when I saw all these SoundCloud rappers like come and try to make meme coins, especially when I saw 6ix9ine like come to like Twitter again to like be part of crypto Twitter before he grifted out, like it made sense and like it clicked with me, like, oh my god, like this is like this is the evolution of what they were doing. Like they were like doing, like they had like the hot ball of fire, they had like the hot ball of attention at the time, and they were trying to like repeat it with meme coins, and all of them pretty much failed. 6ix9ine had like a period where he was like actually part of CT, but then he like drifted with the coin, so it is what it is. But like he was doing like actual like solid tweets for a minute, but like you know what I'm saying, like they're both like it's kind of like the same thing with like the avant-garde movement you were part of like, you know, 10 years ago, and then like SoundCloud rap, and whether it's like culture coins now, what all these things are is like they're the bleeding edge of culture at this very moment where like things are being created, like you said, these little like sparks that create like little fires that eventually will come together to create a blaze in a forest. And that's where like culture coins and meme coins are right now. And you don't think that forest fire has happened yet. Do you still think like those sparks are like being lit as we speak?
I think that like it's going to keep evolving. I think it's going to get wilder. I think people are going to start doing wilder. Like I have a lot of like mixed emotions about it. Like the space is obviously changing every day. Mm-hmm. I think that like after like Pussy and Bio, like all of a sudden you saw like kind of like an outrage meta. Like everyone was like, wait, Pussy and Bio is outrageous. Let's be more outrageous. And then it was like racist meta. And I think that like for better or worse, we were responsible for that. And like I don't give a fuck. Like I think that like it was funny to see the trolls like kind of like bait all these people that were like, we're never gonna list this, or like, you know, like we're not, it's like this mm-hmm. is the like, this is the double-edged sword you signed up for when you have a permissionless ledger. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, are you here for crypto or not kind of vibes? But like,
and I think this is what crypto is ultimately about, is being at the bleeding edge, is being at like the place where most people are unsure about or they're afraid to go, but it's like those that are like have the courage to pioneer and see the vision and see where this can go and have the vision and motion to do shit, they're the ones in the trenches, they're the ones that are here now. And that's you.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if I would say that like about myself, but like I think that like crypto is used to being at the bleeding edge of tech.
True.
I don't think they're used to being at the bleeding edge of culture, and I think that there's some obvious growing pains.
Okay, what are the growing pains that you see?
I mean, just what I guess kind of like what we had spoken about. I don't think they understand like how things are viewed within like a wider cultural context. I think that like they don't necessarily have like a sense of like history when it comes to culture, especially like in the art space. Like I always get like super like cringe vibes from like NFT collectors when they're like start lecturing about art, you know what I mean? Like they give me like the vibes of like people that like go on like those like Bushwick like graffiti tours, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and like they're like, this is art. It's like I guess like there, I feel like crypto now finds itself like at the bleeding edge of culture and like wanting to like have all these like cultural participants come in, and crypto doesn't necessarily even understand or know like there's so much like infighting about like what that means. Like, okay, you've captured all these celebrities' attention, they want to participate, how do they participate, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so what you're basically saying is art, you know, culture, crypto has been at the bleeding edge of tech, and as it moves towards culture, there's like already this lineage of culture that has existed. And if you do try
crypto's
to do
the, crypto's the baby, it's like it, you know,
it's
like
the baby, it's the like, it, yeah,
and like I feel like I don't know, like I want to give like a, what do you call it, like a charitable like view of like a lot of the celebrities, and that it's really hard to fucking launch a coin. Like I don't think that necessarily they know what they're doing. Like I want to believe that like some of them don't necessarily mean to grift, they just have no idea what they're doing. I think a lot of them do intend to grift, but like I feel like maybe this is kind of like an undercooked thought, but I feel like it kind of gets back to like when I was like on-ramping or onboarding like normies. Like there's not great tools or assets if someone's like, I really want to get into crypto, I really want to get into trading, I really want to get into meme coins. Like, how do I do it? You know, like there's not great assets that are like very kind of like, this is what you should know, this is what you should look out for, this is what you shouldn't do. Like, these are the vibes. Like, this is the slang. This is what this means.
You kind
like,
of have just, to learn it from experience.
Yeah, but like we could do a little better, I think. Like, if we really want to like onboard people, like, because otherwise you're just kind of throwing them into the deep end and like being like, swim.
Yeah, that's like, what are some things we can do? What's like the, like a few things like to give like people a place to start?
I think just being like open and earnestly like honest about like mistakes you've made. Like if I just like, cause like, I think that like anytime I've like found success, it's because I've made every possible mistake before leading up to that. You know what I mean? Like I was doing like the dumbest shit, like multiple cycle, you know what I mean? It's just like you slowly but quickly learn what not to do, and like just kind of like a compendium of that would be really helpful. Like that would be a great Twitter account, like shit I learned, you know, like for crypto. Like
yeah, there severely needs to be, I mean, I guess you have Inverse Bra who like screenshots everyone, but there isn't really a recap of everything that's happened in crypto from 2020 till now. And an incredible amount of lore has been
so
created.
So much lore.
So much lore. I was actually with my neighbor last night, and he's been getting really, and he's been just much more interested in crypto after we've been hanging out for a bit, just like always asking me questions. Like I'll say something, he'll like listen to like a podcast about it. I don't even tell him to listen to podcasts. He just ends up finding it. And like, I'm trying to just to like tell him about stuff now. I feel like it's a disservice if I don't tell him about how we got here. It's kind of like the same thing what you were saying about like culture and art. It's like how like culture got to where it is today. There's like all this stuff that happened to get where culture is today. It's like the same thing with crypto. Like all this stuff happened, whether it's like DeFi summer, NFTs, DAOs, DeFi 2.0, fucking Luna, FTX, meme coins, Solana, it's bumped up. Like all this shit has happened to like get to where we are. If you don't have like the understanding of that, you're kind of just going in blinded.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like there's a reason why crypto still seemingly can't throw a good party, you know, like, and there's some things that they could learn from like culture, you know, like the culture industry. That yeah. There's
we haven't been to my party, that's why.
Yeah, sure, okay. But you know what I mean? That like I think that like we need that for new people. Like I think that like it would do us all, it would benefit all of us. We would have a little less inexperienced newcomers, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's a lot crypto can learn, and I feel like the best is yet to come. So,
no, I think the best is yet to come for sure.
Yeah. And, but yeah, on that note, we like to end every interview with asking one last like question, which is, who do you want to see on the show? Who would you want to see next on Flywheel?
Oh, shit. You should have Charlotte Fang on if you haven't done an interview.
I'd love to have Charlotte Fang on. I'm not sure if he does podcasts, though. He's done, like...
He did Barrett's. He did Contain.
I think he might
have done New Models.
I'd love to have Charlotte on at some point, because he's... M'Lady is, like, the one NFT that understood, like, culture before. The culture in its context and how we got
here.
He's
cool.
Yeah.
I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Great suggestion. Would love to have Charlotte on. Charlie, where can people find you? Where can people find Ball Up Top, Pussy and Bio, all that fun stuff?
Yeah. I'm on Twitter. Just Charlie B. Curran, my full name. Yeah, find me on there. And then everything else is just on chain.
Everything else is on chain. Charlie, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you
for having
me. Hope
to see you soon. Ball Up Top. See you soon.
Take care, dude. Appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody, for watching this week's episode of Flywheel. I'm your host, DeFi Dave, wrapping up an episode with Charlie Curran, who is deep in the trenches, who understands the culture, see where the culture is, where it's bumbling, where those, as we said, little sparks are happening that cause fires, and we'll see where it goes. I feel like a lot of our listeners who are deep in DeFi and in DeFi land, like myself, who is a Ethereum romantic, DeFi romantic, it's easy to scuff off these things and be like, oh, these meme coins are nothing. But I feel like history just repeats. Like, meme coins have just, like, always existed and shit. And, you know, that's what is going to catch the attention of the wider populace. And that's what's probably going to onboard the next million users on chain. It's not the infra. I mean, yeah, like, infra is cool. Like, it's necessary. We wouldn't have meme coins without DeFi. But, like, you know, we have to understand what the masses think. And I think Charlie did a great job articulating that throughout the episode. I hope you enjoyed this one as much as I did. And if you want to catch more of these episodes, if you're a first-time listener to this, thank you for watching. If you're returning, thank you for watching. If you want to keep catching episodes, make sure you go ahead, subscribe, hit that bell button, give us a like, leave us a comment, let us know what you think. Follow us on all our socials, follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. Go ahead, follow us on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram at Flywheel DeFi. Follow me on Twitter at DeFiDave22. And we'll see you this week. Peace. Everything said on this episode is not financial or tax advice. This channel is strictly for educational purposes and is not investment advice or solicitation to buy or sell any assets or to make any financial decisions. This video is not tax advice whatsoever. Please talk to your accountant and do your own research.